Today, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. But before we stand and read our verse, I want to go over a little bit about what Pastor Mike talked about last week in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. He talked about how sin is our prison and our sentence is death. And we deserve that prison and we deserve that death. But the thing I got out of it the most was, but God. But God. He sacrificed himself, his son, on the cross to save us. And by our faith and by his grace, we are saved. Amen. So if you could please stand with me for the reading of God's word. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to be in your house, this time of worship, this time of family worship, Lord. Father, I pray that our worship is honoring of you. I pray that the words that are spoken here only honor you, Lord. Father, I ask and pray that you will bless our time, and Lord, bless the words that are spoken. We ask this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So we talked about but God from our first section that Pastor Mike talked about last week. But in this section of Ephesians 2, Paul reminds the Gentiles that they were once separated from God by the dividing wall. And that dividing wall is the law. That's you and me. We're the Gentiles. We're separated. But God. Remember that. As we go through this sermon, it's but God. It's but God. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are all now full citizens of God, the Gentiles. So as we go through this, we're going to see some key points that are going to jump out. The Gentiles' former state, think about it, our former state, pre-Christ, reconciliation through the cross, direct access to the Father. We have now direct access to God and the new community. So in Ephesians 2, 11 through 12, I'm going to read that again. Just to reiterate what we're going to talk about here, it's one in Christ. It's therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Say it with me, but God. We have to remember that, but God. Paul is instructing the Gentiles here to remember their former state. To remember where they were pre-salvation, pre-Christ, pre-Christian, so that they can truly appreciate the magnitude of salvation. We should do the same thing. In order to appreciate the magnitude of what Christ did, remember where you were and look at where you are now in Christ. Gentiles were labeled the uncircumcised by the Jewish people. This was a derogatory term. It was not a thing of honor. This was, you were the lowest of the low. That reference to the Gentiles because they had not had the covenant mark. They did not have it. So they were called the uncircumcised, which is borderline a cuss word. They were the lowest of the low. They were unclean. They were not worthy. You got to remember that. And that's us in our sin. We're unclean. We're unworthy. We don't deserve any of the grace that Jesus gives us. We deserve zero of it. Zero. And to be a Gentile in those days, it had a fivefold separation from God. Not only were they unclean and terrible and the lowest of the low, they were totally separated from God at that time. In the scripture, we'll see where far was brought near. And the Gentiles were fivefold separated. They were without a Messiah, number one. They were excluded from the citizenship of Israel, as we read. There was no hope because they had no divine purpose. They were strangers to the covenant promise. They were strangers to the law. They were. They weren't. They had. It was not theirs. They were without God in the world. At one time, before Christ has moved into our hearts, wasn't that us? Weren't we fivefold separated from God? We were. But Christ brings us close. These Gentiles, lowest of the low. And in Galatians 3:28, we read, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And Colossians 3:11 also tells us that here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. That's us. We were brought near to Christ. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 13 through 16, that reminds us here, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Remember, fivefold separation, blood of Christ. Guess what? We are right there with him now. We are right there with him. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing the law and commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. And he might reconcile us both to God, one body, through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. This is reconciliation. And that reconciliation comes through the cross. And here we see Paul reminds us that Jesus has abolished the dividing wall. That dividing wall is the law. The law has been fulfilled. The law is complete through the blood of Christ. That wall that divided all ethnic relations, it divided Jew, Greek, Gentile. It was a dividing wall, and now all brought together through the blood of Jesus Christ. Gentiles were brought from far off to near through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are now near. We are now close. And Christ alone is the believer's source of peace. This peace is not just a feeling. A lot of people think, okay, I have peace. It's more than a feeling. This peace is a person. This peace is an action. This peace is Christ. He is that person. And that action was the crucifixion. So it's more than just a feeling. Jesus did not simply make Jews out of Gentiles. He created a new humanity, a single body, the Christians, the church. We have the church through Jesus Christ. The cross eliminated the hostility between God and man. Jesus took on all of God's wrath on that cross. Not some, not a little bit, all of it. All of it. Jesus bore it. Jesus took it for what? So that we could be near to Him. That's it. The only reason. And the only reason we sit in here today is to be near to Him. The only reason we come together to worship is to be near to Him. That is it. There's no other reason. It's to honor, love, and cherish the one who gave it all for us. The cross eliminated that hostility. Jesus gives hope to all and that put their faith in Him. And there again, when you say, but God, that was but God. We deserve death. We deserved a penalty. We deserved everything Jesus got. But God, we got to remember that. I've got a quote by John MacArthur. If an absolutely holy God can desire to be reconciled to vile sinners like us, can't we find it in our hearts to be reconciled to our brothers? Think about that when we leave here today. Romans 5, 1 and 2 tell us that therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into His grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen? And in Ephesians 2, 17 through 18, it reads, and He came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. As believers in Jesus Christ, because of Him, both Jew and Gentile have direct access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and preached during His earthly ministry, and He preached peace. After His resurrection, that peace continued to be preached by the apostles and the Holy Spirit. And it continues today through the Holy Spirit. This message is it's not only for the Jew, it's for the Gentile. Only through Jesus Christ do we have a relationship with the Father. Only through Him are we brought close to Jesus. The peace that Paul refers to here in this passage is not going to be absent of conflict. Peace is not absent of conflict. Peace is a restored relationship with the Father. Peace is what we have when we're in conflict, yet we're still calm, yet we are still together, and yet we still have that faith that God will get us through it. That is true peace. And in these verses, we also see the Trinity in these verses. Through Christ, we have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. We've read that. The Trinity is explained right there. And access, think about this. Access is more than just permission. It is a personal invitation into the presence of God. You got to remember, at the time when the Jews had the temple, they would go into the Holy of Holies. They would go into the presence of God. But if they went in there in an unclean manner, they would have a rope tied around their waist because they would be struck dead. And the others would have to drag them out. Because if they went in to get them, guess what happened to them? They're touching an unclean body. And a dead body's an unclean body. So what? They die too. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are clean. We have permanent access to the Father. We can go directly to Him. We don't need anybody in between. We don't need anybody to speak for us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have direct access. And we need to use that access. Access is more than permission. It's a personal invitation. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 reads, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain that is through His flesh." The curtain's gone. There is nothing that separates us from the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, when we read Scripture, when that curtain was torn, it wasn't torn from the bottom up. You or I, we couldn't reach the top of the curtain. We would have grabbed it from the bottom to try to tear it. But it was torn from top to bottom because God tore it. God tore that curtain. And through Jesus, we have unhindered access to the Father. Unhindered. It means we can go to Him anytime we want to. Anytime we need to. Anytime we want to just tell Him we love Him. Anytime we want to. And in Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22, we see, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit." The believer is no longer a stranger. We are no longer fivefold separated from the Father. We are a member of God's household. His household is built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ being the chief cornerstone that sets the line straight. If you don't know what a cornerstone is, think about it this way. That's the starting point. That's where everything goes from that point forward. If the cornerstone is not correct and right and perfect, the rest of the house is a cattywampus mess. But Jesus is a perfect cornerstone. You follow Him, you adhere to Him, and it's perfect. It's perfect. He is the perfect cornerstone. Every believer is a stone in Christ's church. We are all stones in that church. Jesus is our cornerstone. Jesus keeps us straight. Jesus holds us together. Jesus binds us. Jesus gives us direct access to the Father because He is our cornerstone. Christ's church will not be complete until every person who will profess faith in Him has done so. The church will not be complete. You hear a lot of stuff out there right now because of all the wars going on and everything happening, that the end is near, the end is near. Yeah, the end is near. The end has been near. Jesus himself doesn't even know when the end is going to happen, because he wants every believer to have that opportunity to come to him and put their faith and trust in him as their Savior. That's why the world hasn't ended yet. It's not time, it's God's time. It's not our time. People have predicted it and predicted it. There was a book once written, 88 Reasons Why the World Will End in 1988. And guess what? It didn't. And the same guy wrote another book, 89 Reasons Why the World's Going to End in 1989. You think I'm making that up? That's real. But this is how people think. Think about it this way. Tomorrow could be the day. Right now could be the day. When we walk out that door, it could be the day. Only God the Father knows. Not us. It's not up to us. We are to live every day in honor of God as if it's our last day, because it very well may be. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5 tells us, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God does not live in a building made by hands, but he inhabits his people, the church, through his Holy Spirit. Amen? So in summary, the gospel creates unity. It destroys dividing walls. It builds anew. And the believer becomes a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. If you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, today is that day to put your faith in him. And after our service, if there's anyone that wants to come up to one of the elders, myself, to just speak to us, we're here for that. I pray that that day is today, that you will put your faith in what he did for us. I'm going to have our prayer, and Doug's going to come forward for our Lord's Supper. So let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you brought us from far to near. We are so close, you hold us in your very arms. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, that you took on the Father's wrath for us. And thank you, Lord, that we can just remember those two words, but God. Father, I pray that you'll continue to bless the rest of our service. Bless our time together as we partake in the Lord's Supper. I pray that it will bless each and every one of us, Lord. Father, I pray that you'll prepare our hearts. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.